Here we go. Daily podcast time on the John DeBella Show. It's Thursday morning, May 6th. Today, we started out golfing in Saudi Arabia, then traveled further east to find a rather strangely named boy. John had a question about elephants today, and we still discussed the fallout from the Bill Gates divorce. That seems like it's going to be getting weirder and weirder as more comes out. We touched on recent text and Mother's Day coming up. Song stories today featured Some Kind of Wonderful. Do you like breakfast in bed? We took a poll today to find out how our audience felt. And Nancy Wilson of Heart joined us for an interview. She has a new album coming out and a new guitar. And a story caught our attention about a dad who saved up for his daughter's wedding, but things didn't go as planned. We went to the phones for that as well and had a 5 calls to determine it all. Have a listen. It is the Daily Podcast.
What do you know about the Premier Golf League?
Nothing.
Isn't it Premier Soccer?
No. Premier Golf League.
I sort of know about it, that they're trying to pluck some of the main golfers off the PGA Tour to play in this new golf league.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and it just not
Right. Well, the Saudis are big golfers. They're like the Japanese, right? You know, well, the wealthier. Well, is there such a thing as a poor Saudi?
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah, they're called a woman.
You're right. It's a Saudi-backed league, and it has designs on, like Steve's saying, to compete with the PGA. And reportedly, some of the top names in the sport, Dustin Johnson, Byron DeChambeau.
Bryson.
You call him Byron because he's a douchebag anyway.
Right. Okay. Believe it or not, the story has him as Byron. Right. And Brooks
Koepka.
Right. They've all been offered between $30 and $50 million to join this league.
Would they have to basically turn in their PGA Tour card then?
I don't know. Probably. Rory McIlroy has been offered the same amount of money since 2014. They've been chasing him to do this. Right. And he's not interested. He says it's all a money grab. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but if somebody, that's the point.
But if somebody offers you between $30 and $50 million, I think grab is the key word.
Yep. The John DeBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK.
A boy was just born in the Philippines, and his full name is I can't even pronounce it. It's impossible to pronounce.
All right.
The reason why I can't pronounce it is the name has 22 letters, no vowels.
Whoa.
Unless you're going with the sometimes Y as a vowel.
Okay.
His grandfather picked the name and says that all of the letters represent something like, okay, so the name is GLHYNNYL, new word, HYLHYR, new word, YZZYGHYL.
Oh, I wish we had audio.
Okay, I know. His grandfather says he picked the name and says that all the letters stand for something, like the GYLYNNYL. The G and the N are from his mother's name, Geraldine.
Huh?
Okay, right? Okay.
Two random letters.
The HYL is for his father, Lyron. Right, and the NYL is for his grandmother, Jorlin.
Wow. Right.
You ready for what they're calling the kid?
Give it to me.
Consonant. I swear. I didn't make that up.
That's genius. It's either that or Scrabble Rack.
I'm just going to call it a Scrabble Rack.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
So I read this article about this woman in Los Angeles that, she tweeted this, that she was at a job interview. And one of the questions that she got on the job interview was, you've been given an elephant. You can't give it away or sell it. What would you do with the elephant?
Put him in my backyard.
That's it? That's all you're going to do with him? Just put him in your backyard?
Yeah, let him roam. All right. Get him an electric fence like Dublin.
What is it? You can't kill it. You can't sell it.
You can't sell it or give it away. Obviously, you can't kill it either. All right.
Well, I didn't hear that part. Somebody responded that
they took a course on how to, because you get these wacky questions in a lot of job interviews, and they said that the proper thing to do is open a business where you can hire out the elephant for events. So that makes them think, oh, look at it. So what would you say? Would you just put it in your backyard?
I got a pet elephant.
Okay.
I've always wanted a baby elephant. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I mean,
they do grow, though.
That's fine. All that's right. fine. You can help me pick stuff off the beach tree.
Do you know who's trying to get an elephant?
Me?
Croce.
Bryant Green.
What?
Bryant Green wants an elephant. He's got all kinds of animals. The guy from Always Best Care.
Yeah, he has like a refuge.
Yeah, he does.
Basically in his backyard.
Right, but he doesn't have enough land for an elephant, so they said no. Right? And he was trying to rescue an elephant.
Is there an actual elephant permit you can get?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could go with something like, give me the job or I'll have my elephant sit in your car.
True.
All right. That's a good threat.
All right. I would personally, I would go with that he's a emotional support elephant, and I will have to bring him to work every day.
Oh, that's good. And on a plane, obviously.
Can you guys fit my elephant on the plane,
yeah.
please?
Just put it on the roof. I have a rack.
Seat. That'd be great, showing up at the airport. It's my emotional support elephant.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
The whole Bill and Melinda Gates thing, as it unfolds, becomes more and more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got into it with somebody on the text board yesterday about to say, you know there's got to be a prenup. And somebody said, no, there is no prenup. I said, no, there's got to be a prenup. I read that there's a prenup of some kind. And it goes, no. Channel 6 says that there's no prenup. No, you know what they're calling it? A separation agreement. It's a friggin' prenup.
Is it?
Right? You know, you hear what she's getting?
I saw she got, he transferred her $1.8
billion
in stocks or something like that.
I'm not sure exactly.
It was stocks, yeah.
But even so,
yeah.
Right? It's still nearly $2 billion.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Did you see that he was she let him for like 1 weekend a year or whatever it was?
Yeah. There's this woman, Anne Winbald. Did you hear about this, Cindy?
No.
This woman, Anne Winbald, which, prior to when Bill and Melinda were married in 1994, a few years prior, Bill was getting it on with some Anne Winbald, a software engineer, venture capitalist, and early microwave investor. Even after they broke things off, their bond over science was so tight that Bill and Melinda had an agreement that he could go and have an annual long weekend getaway with Anne at her place in the Outer Banks.
Wow.
All right, right? Mm. So that they could discuss science.
Imagine that dirty talk. Imagine how hot that was.
Rub your mitochondria on my nucleus.
Yes, exactly. Oh, your protoplasm dripping down my.
But it seems that, like I said, there is a separation contract, and she's getting close to $2 billion.
Have they said why they're breaking? I feel like that's the obvious question that no one's answering.
I don't know.
You know what? They just got sick of being together because of the pandemic.
Is that what it was? It could have been.
No,
either that or she's still not over how bad Windows 10 was. Yeah. My God, was that dreck.
I saw that the family is all siding with her and blaming Bill, and they've hired like big-time lawyers, both of them, so prepare to see a lot of news. There's a lot of money going to be exchanging.
A lot of nerdy skeletons.
Then there's some Asian woman who was working as a translator that he supposedly had an affair with, and she's like, no, this did not happen.
What?
All right? You know, so.
Interesting.
Actually, she worked for the two of them. She worked for the foundation.
Okay.
Right? So, I don't know.
Oh,
you know?
Strap yourselves in.
I don't know. When all is said and done, we all have the same amount of money that we did when the story started.
Exactly. Right? I hate everyone involved.
John DeBella.
Here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
102.9 MGK.
It dawned on me this morning that I have yet to buy any Mother's Day cards.
And
because the dogs have to give Lisa their Mother's Day cards.
Oh, is that how it works in your house?
Yeah, how it works, all right? You know, and I was thinking, all right, what if the last thing you text was the copy for your Mother's Day card?
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Oh,
well, it depends on who it's going to, my mom or my wife.
All right. Well, if it was going to my wife or my mom in this case, it'd be even funnier if it was my mom. All right. My mother's card would say, "Where are you? I've been sitting in the same place since we last met."
Actually, it would work out well for sending that to your mom. My last text was to my wife.
All right.
And if it's going to my Mother's Day card, it's a problem because it's, I can massage your insides if needed.
Come on.
Yeah. It was to my wife.
Was there a response?
There was a response.
Uh-oh.
Would you like the response?
Yes, I would.
Yes, please.
Yes! Get it, Steve! If I sent that, the response would be, who is this? Or lose my number.
Yeah.
Blocked and reported.
I can massage your insides if needed.
All right, start thinking about this, folks, because we're going to ask you about it, too. What do you got there?
Mine is just simply really surprised how good it was. So what does that imply? I'm leaving? Right. You're a great mom and all. I'm surprised how good you are, but I'm gone.
I'm gone. That's it. It's so, over, done with. So what's it for you, Sin?
I can't say it looks that different, but no longer have to worry about rotting poles.
Oh, what? Wow.
Okay.
We're having some work done at the house.
I bet you are. Kristen was having some work done also. So.
Oh, man. How's your pole doing? Any signs of rot?
Nope.
So what is your last text? If your last text was going to be the text in your Mother's Day card, what would it say? Call us here in the studio.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Mamma mia.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
So back after 9/11 happened and they had all the concerts in New York for the first responders, a bunch of rock bands got together at the Meadowlands. It was Styx, Survivor was part of it, Grand Funk Railroad, a Foreigner was there as well, right? And it was all to support the transit cops, who had no attention was paid to them. And they said, you know what, these guys did just as much as everybody else. Let's make sure that we do something for them as well. And I'm backstage, and I'm talking to some folks, and I hear Grand Funk Railroad warming up, and it's just them in a dressing room singing Some Kind of Wonderful. I said, oh, it's kind of special. I said, you know, they're rehearsing for the show. I didn't realize what went on behind the scenes about in the story as to how that song came about and them recording it. The story goes like this.
Some Kind of Wonderful was our little song that we always sang in the limousine on the way to the show or after the show or whatever, and it was like
warm-up.
Or a thing maybe to break the ice or the nerves or whatever, and it was an old Soul Brother 6 song that we remembered growing up playing on the Black Station in Flint.
It was a regional hit.
We just loved the song, and we never really thought about doing it until we were in the studio with Ianer. And
I remember Andy Cavalieri saying, you guys need to cut that. That song is just too good. So we did.
And it became ours.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
I swear to you, Cindy, I get this exact same story each and every year. It's kind of like, okay, here's what the 12 things of Christmas are going to cost this year. Every year, it's like the same thing. It's here's what moms really want for Mother's Day.
Okay. Right?
And so, you know, the only thing I could figure on is the only thing that changes is maybe the percentages. That's all it could possibly be. I mean, 68% of Americans plan on celebrating Mother's Day this year. What are the other 32% doing?
Good question. It's always next year.
You know, but when it gets to the list, is what moms really want, right? 43% simply want a card for Mother's Day. 36% want flowers. Special experience with my family, 33%. I don't know, you know, these percentages aren't really working out. Keepsake or a personal item, 26%. Here's Cindy's chocolate, right?
Right. Yeah.
24%. Something homemade. Not with macaroni, right? You know, a certificate for a spa massage, jewelry, you know, I have a date of myself. And this is the one that gets me the most, right? The last one on the list, 14%, breakfast in bed. Does anybody really find that appealing?
I mean, women maybe more than guys.
Really? I mean, just the idea of somebody come up with a tray and you're sitting in bed and you got eggs and toast and bacon and orange juice and coffee on a little tray in front of you. There's nothing, to me, there could be nothing less comfortable than trying to eat that meal.
Yeah, it's true. You got to hunch over. I don't know, Cindy, weigh in, you're a girl.
That's what I always asked for, was breakfast in bed. Like,
really?
That's the tradition. Right. However, it never works out. Like, my idea was bring me breakfast and then leave. But then the kids would be
hang.
On the bed, and they would be jumping around on the bed and bouncing everything, and then Randy would be like, no, it's going to spill, and, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
I'm just sort of curious. Instant text poll. Ladies, all right? You get to your phone. There's no sense in men answering this because it's, you know, it's a women's question, right? Breakfast in bed, yes or no? All right, right? Yes or no? Because I'm telling you, I just cannot find this enjoyable.
No, same here. Crumbs in the sheets.
Right? Yeah, it's just
syrup on the pillow.
You got it. You got it exactly. All right. So, you know, one for yes, two for no. Right. Vote on MGK 645-645 when we come back with the break. We'll see what the instant text poll says. We're in the middle of an instant text poll.
Instant.
It's quick, easy,
instantly. Right now.
Instant gratification.
Survey said.
You know, I really love when I'm right. 70% of the women responding to our question, do you want breakfast in bed, said no.
Wow.
No, because it's mess. There's nothing comfortable about it. And Cindy was right. You know, especially when the kids come in and they're jumping all over the bed. Uh-huh. Your coffee's going all over the place. Juice spilling. Right? There goes the syrup. There's crumbs under the cushions. No.
John DeBella.
Oh, my God.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
That's insane.
Are you all right?
102.9.
Yeah, he's so hot.
MGK.
Nancy Wilson of Heart has a new solo album out, actually her first solo album, called You and Me. It'll be available Friday, and it has the perfect Mother's Day song on it, and I'll explain that once we get Nancy on the air. Hi, Nancy.
Well, hello there, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Really good. Well, really good.
This is a great record, and I got tons of questions, and unfortunately, we don't have enough time to get them all in. But let me start with what I was talking about, this having a perfect Mother's Day song. The title track, You and Me, when I first started listening to it, I honestly thought it was about you and your sister. And then all of a sudden, I realized, oh, no, this is about her mom, right? it's a great mom song just in time for Mother's Day. Tell me something about your mom.
Oh, my God. Well, I would characterize her as a steel magnolia because she was a military wife in the Marine Corps. So she was, our dad was gone a lot. So she was both mom and dad to us all, the three girls of us in our family. So you just did not want to mess with her, but she was also just a wonderful mom. You know, I'm lucky enough to say that me and my mom were super close.
Oh, that's great. Let me ask you about some of the people that you have on this album. You're doing some covers. You got original songs on it as well. When I saw Sammy Hagar on The Boxer, which is one of my favorite songs of all time, right? I didn't expect Sammy to pop up in it.
I know. Well, you know, he's a buddy and, you know, one of the funniest guys on the planet, of course. And I was like, you got to do something on my album for me. How about this rock song? And he was like, no, that's way too predictable. What about something else? And I said, what about The Boxer? And he goes, I love The Boxer. I was a boxer. So it's kind of like a perfect update to this iconic folk song to have somebody like Sammy Hagar, you know, in the clearing as a boxer standing in the center of the song and just kind of like updating it in the coolest way.
Plus, you got Bruce Springsteen's The Rising on here, Pearl Jam's Daughter. I mean, you know, and Dreams, the Cranberry song. These are great songs for you to cover. I guess this was, what, a pandemic project?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of people that were locked down who got really creative about, you know, having time not on the road. And so not, you know, not living out of a suitcase for a minute. Yeah, it was perfect for me to, you know, finally get around to the thing that everybody's like, when are you going to do that? Well, I guess I just did it. So it was a blessing in disguise. It was a blessing inside a larger curse to be able to have the time and to get really creative with it. And I had a lot of fun doing it.
In the article that I was reading that you had time to reconnect with your pre-Heart college girl self. Have you missed her?
Kind of. I mean, doesn't everybody kind of harken back to their original before you got into a career type self and all of the dreams that you had there? And, you know, I think that's pretty common. People kind of want to reconnect to their earlier selves. And in this case, it was kind of like a homecoming because I've been, since I was 21, I was in the band Heart. It was kind of like I joined the army and I saw the world, you know, for a few decades there.
I read your quote about For Edward, and I don't want to use it. I would prefer that you tell the story behind that song.
Well, yeah. In the 80s, when our two bands were kind of hooked up in a few different scenarios, like festivals and stuff like that, Eddie took a shine to me and I took a shine to him because he's just a sweetheart and we became friends, right? So one day he said, hey, I love the way you play the acoustic guitar. And I said, oh, my God, that's insane. I can't even hear that from you. because, you know, he's the best guitar player in the
Eddie Van Halen, right?
And I said, why don't you play more acoustic, too? And he goes, well, I don't even have an acoustic guitar. And I was like, what? You can't tell me that. So here's one right now. I gave it to him. And then next morning at dark 30, the crack of dawn, he calls my hotel room on the actual telephone in the room. And he says, listen to this. And he plays me this beautiful piece of music, instrumental acoustic guitar song. And I was like, oh, that's the most, one of the prettiest things I've ever heard in my life. And so, you know, when he left us recently, I thought, okay, somebody said, you got to do an instrumental. So I said, okay, it's going to be dedicated to Eddie. And so the song is called For Edward. I had to, like, just try to recreate something that I heard in the 80s that was somewhat similar to what he'd played me over that phone that morning. And I think I approximated it fairly close. And, yeah, so, you know, he deserves to be tributed, at least tributed.
Well, it's a beautiful piece, and we're going to get to that. But let me get to one last thing before you have to go, as long as we're talking about guitars. From what I understand, there's a new Epiphone guitar that has Nancy Wilson's name on it, right?
Yes, it does. It's a signature model, and it's called
It's gorgeous. It is a gorgeous guitar.
Well, thank you. I know. I think it turned out really sweet, and it's a great guitar. It sounds great, plays great. It's a little bit not quite as heavy as a Les Paul. Nobody can play those anymore because you'll ruin your shoulders.
Well, it's a beautiful guitar. It's a beautiful album. You're a beautiful woman. I'm sorry you didn't stay a redhead, though. You really broke my heart when you went back to blonde.
Wow, I thought blondes had more fun.
Not in my world. Nancy Wilson, her new album, You and Me, is available Friday. Nancy, thank you so much for the time. This was a wonderful conversation.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have yourself a great day. Thank you.
You too.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
I've got a question for you. I always like going to Reddit and looking at the Am I the A-hole section?
Okay.
Right, where the people put these stories up and they want to know, okay, what do you think? You know, was I wrong or somebody else wrong? All right. An anonymous father, all right, took to Reddit and he put this up. And wants to know if he was wrong for spending the wedding fund he saved for his daughter on gifts for himself. Now, let me set that story up. Don't just take it at that. All right? He said he bought himself a new car and went on a vacation with his wife with the $35,000 that he saved for his daughter's wedding after she called and said they eloped. All right? So you know, after he spent the money, she comes home and says, hey, I want the money for a down payment on a house. Okay, right. So the question at hand is, and I want to do this. We haven't done a five calls in the longest time, right. So we'll do this as a five calls, all right? Do you think the dad had the right to spend the money on himself, or should he have saved it regardless of his daughter's eloping? What do you say, Steve?
It's his. It doesn't need to save it.
Right.
He's not the a-hole.
Okay.
Concise argument. Yeah, I mean, it was a wedding fund.
Right.
It was allocated for one specific purpose. It's almost like having a college fund for your kid.
Uh-huh.
If they don't go to college, then they just want to globetrot. Sorry, bro. I'm paying off my mortgage.
Right.
But look, and I can understand that. Like, you know, if she knew it was there and expected to get it, I can understand why she was coming to say, hey, you know, hey, I want that money. Right. But,
shouldn't have eloped.
But then again,
she got impatient.
We're three guys in a room. Who knows what women think about this?
True.
So that's why we do it as five calls. So 215-263-WMGK. Did he have the right to spend the money, or should he give it to her for the down payment? So spend or elope. All right. Spend or elope will be the questions I ask you. 215-263-WMGK. Okay. Five calls says it all. We've got a dad who saved this money for his daughter's wedding. She elopes. He spends it on himself. What do you say? Spend it or give it?
Spend it.
Spend it or give it?
I say you give it, John. Woo! I love my daughter.
Spend it or give it?
Spend it.
Spend it or give it?
Spend it.
Yeah, okay.
All right, one more, and we've got ourselves an answer.
spend it.
There we go.
I'm shocked we got one give it.
Me too.
I'm shocked we got to spend it from a woman.
The John DeBella Podcast. Wow. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.